Hey y'all, welcome to Bookmarked. I'm Nicole, your host for the evening. I'm a high school student who's taking an intro to podcasting class and loves to read, so I figured what better way to spend my time than making a book podcast. Each week we're going to talk about five-star reads, reading niches, and of course, the magic of books. Howdy guys, welcome back to Nicole's Bookmark. I'm Nicole. That's pretty obvious. I say that every time. I really need a new intro. Anyway, this episode is just going to be, happy spring break, guys. I did get sick the beginning of spring break from my brother because we spent 12 hours together going down to Texas. Awful cold. So that's why I kind of probably sound still congested. I blame him. He gave it to me. Yeah. Everybody blame him. But this episode is just kind of like a reader's guide for starting, like getting into books, or if you're already into books. I have come up with these questions, and I just feel like these are some things that are kind of like important to hear different perspectives on, because everybody has their own opinion. So in case you're curious, these are my thoughts and opinions. And the first one that I came up with is how to avoid a book slump. And this is because when I was writing this, it was in the midst of like my Crescent City book slump. And I've been in much, much worse book slumps. Like, but I think how you know you're in a book slump is when, gosh, I had such a good answer for this. When I am getting in a book slump, it's like I can tell by if I'm wanting to switch between books or if I'm just like looking on my phone or my laptop and avoiding reading. Dang. I feel like maybe I'm in a book slump right now. Okay, I think I'm in a book slump. Anyway, it's just like if I'm going in between my phone or my laptop and I'm trying to find an excuse not to read, I'm probably in a book slump and then I get annoyed. Or if I'm like trying to find a new book after going through the first 100 pages and I'm like, yeah, no, it's like it's a good book, but like let me find something else. That's probably another sign that I'm in a book slump. But for me to avoid it, first I have to like realize that, if I'm going on my phone a lot, then I need to find a way to like stop this and prevent it. And this is probably like a really toxic thing to do in books, but I will go onto like WikiHow and look up all the spoilers. That is just like my encouragement. It gives me a little like kernel of hope. I'm like, these characters are together. And but then sometimes I'll get the like this character. Okay, this actually happens a lot where I spoil a death for myself, especially in Crescent City, because I did this all the time and I did find out that a lot of people died and I was very sad. And I actually spoiled a lot in Crescent City. Dang. Okay. Anyway, I wouldn't recommend doing the spoiler route, but some books you kind of just have to. I was reading One of Us is Lying. Hated the book. I don't know why. Actually, there's a number of reasons why, but my friend was reading it at the same time and I got her to tell me every single thing that happened in the book. And then I was like, oh my gosh, this sounds great. And then I read it and it was definitely average. But that is like, if I'm not reading with a buddy, then that is like my one hope for like continuing reading without getting into a, like an actual book slump. And then I would say if you're like already in one, then you need to get yourself a reader's buddy. Then they'll be like, you have to read this book, and they'll hype up the book. Guys, you need a book to be hyped up to get you out of the book slump. I swear, if I do not see a plethora of Instagram reels or TikToks about a book, I'm in a book slump, I probably won't read it because I'm just going to be like so negative about a book. And one thing that is like one of the worst qualities about me is that I'm such like a judgmental person and I will hyperfixate on a character. And I'm not that judgmental in real life, but when it comes to imaginary people who I can just dog on, I will dog on you and I will eventually hate you if you do it too often. Like painting when you're really bad. I wonder who does that. Okay, and if you don't have a fun reader friend who can, like, hype you up with a book, or you don't have TikTok, then I would find a romance book. That is, like, my one way to get out. That's, like, my last resort. And I don't really like romance books, but they're so easy to read and, like, slip into. And it's not the, like, first 20 pages that... Okay, for romance books, they're really easy for me. Because, you know, when you first start a book and the first, like, 50 pages are, like, battling Goliath, and you don't have a slingshot or God on your side, because if I had God with me, I think I could David him. No problemo. Watch me with that slingshot swinging her around. Crazy though. That man. Okay, imagine this. David must have, like, great forearm strength. He must have had to, like, swing her. Oh my gosh. Enough to, like, knock the man dead. Just, like, wow. You really gotta think about that, too. It's just, like, with one rock, bullseye, too, right in the forehead, like, sinks into the skull, and then takes his own sword, chops off the dude's head with his own sword. And this, isn't the sword, like, bigger than him? Dang! And Goliath is a giant. Like, he's a literal giant. One of those from the demons and the humans doing their little thing together, popping out giants. Y'all, I did not know giants were real until junior year. Why did I say that like it was such a long time ago? Last year, we were talking in English. My teacher pulled out, yeah, giants. And I was like, what? Giants? I was like, this man is the biggest phony phone liar I've ever heard. Went to tell my mom. I was like, this man is lying to us. Like, he's teaching us fake facts. My mom was like, yeah, giants. I'm like, babe, what? Where are you getting this from? Hold out Genesis. She was in there. Right. Yeah. I was like, what the heck? This is crazy. Why am I talking about David and Goliath though? Moral of the story is, if you're in a book slump, look up spoilers, get a book friend, or read a romance book, because those things are easy. Next question. How do I tell if a book is a 5-star? Guys, this is the biggest thing that I struggled with for such a long time, because I'm like I just said, I'm a really picky reader, and I will hyperfixate on one specific thing, painting, and then it'll make me hate the character, and then this has actually become a really bad habit. Oh, I didn't even answer the question. What the heck? Guys, 5-star book is when you're kicking and giggling your feet. And I'm talking like jumping up and down, like getting out of my bed, jumping up, running into my bathroom, and like looking at myself and be like, no way this just happened. And then I have to like hype myself up to go back into the book. And then there's times when I do jump out of my bed, have to go look at myself in the mirror and be like, go finish this book, but a completely different reaction. I'm meaning like the man just did something so heinous. It's the most foul thing I've ever, my eyes are literally bleeding because he just did that. Oh my gosh. It's like Tamlin during the meeting with everybody, that was a moment where I wasn't kicking and giggling and I wasn't jumping up for joy. I was jumping up in pure embarrassment. That man is disgusting. Don't, ladies, do not. I swear, I am so reactive too to like these embarrassing moments that it takes me literally. Guys, if I read one thing that gives me like a minor ick, it can take me a week to get back into the book because I'm just like so icked out. And the book is amazing, but because of that one thing that the character said, it makes me take a moment. It makes me reassess my life and what I'm doing. I'm like, do I need to read? Do I seriously need to do this? And then I'm like, yes, because it's actually fun. But man, those types of books make me question my whole existence. Okay, that's really bad, because the next question is like, what encourages you to read? Not that, but I would say the major thing, the like main thing that makes me read is that I like am becoming, I would say that like I can experience all these emotions that the characters are experiencing and things that I probably wouldn't go through, like grief. Six of Crows, for example, that was hard. Oh my gosh, guys, I hate that book for what they did to me. And I always see things on A Little Life. I will never ever read that book because I've seen all the reactions of people just bawling their eyes out. And I hate sad books. Literally hate them. Oh, guys, Lovely War, my favorite romance book. I was reading that and my friend kept calling me towards the end of the book, sobbing my eyes out. She called me multiple times and like 30 minute increments, each time sobbing my eyes out. And she's like, what is wrong? And I'm like, girl, I can't even explain. My mind is exploding with sadness. Anyway, that's besides the point. Actually, that's not beside the point at all. It just like makes me feel emotions like love. I'm like, is this what love feels like? Because I am seriously attached to these characters. Like, I would go to the chopping block for them. And then also, I feel like I've gotten much more, like a much more emotional maturity. Like, I understand relationships and how to work through them, even though a boyfriend, like, just the thought of me having a boyfriend gives me the biggest dick. Anyway, when I finally get over that, and when I get a boyfriend, I feel like I'll be much more emotionally mature. But right now, I'm like so not emotionally mature because I can't even like stomach dating somebody. But you know, to each their own. And then besides that, I would also say just like it has opened my eyes to like how people respond to situations and then how I should react to situations and what is like deemed right and what is deemed wrong. And then also being able to peer in with a religious perspective and being able to tell, yes, this might be right in a secular world where God is not the focal point of a relationship. And it makes me understand, like, I would never do this. And it's because these people don't have a connection to God and God is not the forefront of their marriage. And when they are not closest with God, they are the furthest away from each other. And I think a lot of the time I read the Addicted series, and I will say that throughout that whole series, I was just constantly thinking of like, this is not true love. This is not what the love of God has been shining and reflecting on me. And when I read these characters and I read this love that they have, it is not what God has shown me. And I think it has really opened my eyes to like what a secular perspective of love is, and it's kind of more physical. And this might be like very cheesy and like, oh, you're just a Christian, but it's the truth, because love, true love, comes from God, and when you are apart from him, you do not know love. And I think I really noticed that reading the Addicted series, because it felt so unrealistic. And a focal point of that series was the physical connection, and that's why people really felt beloved by the characters. And I actually really didn't read that much of it. What I did read, it was just not what a standard of love is. And that may have been an oversimplified version of like Christianity and like God, but it's the truth. And I think reading has also brought me closer to the Lord and made me understand that I can't go through life and I can't go through these troubles without him, because these characters are really messed up and they don't have God and they don't have somebody to walk them through it and take on these burdens and struggles. Because man, some of these guys are going to war, and then like Lovely War during World War II, like, oh my gosh, reading about the tragedies of World War II, and like you hear about those things growing up, but you don't really understand what those men have gone through and the trauma that they have faced until like I've read some of these books, and it honestly opens my eyes, and I don't think I would be able to do that without God. And it, like, it just seems unrealistic that these characters have gone through that without somebody to take on that burden, some divine God to take that burden away. And also it compares, like, it makes me understand, like, in fantasy books, they worship gods. Like, they're like, oh, I wish I knew the gods that we prayed to, but they don't. And I'm like, why would you pray to these gods who don't care about you? What is the point of praying to them if they don't know you, if they don't know your true heart and your true mind, and they don't know how many hairs are on your head, and they didn't die for your sins and think of you while they were dying. They didn't send their only son onto the cross to die for you. Like, what's the point of worshiping that? And my faith gives me comfort to know that somebody greater than me, greater than anything that I could ever amount to, cares about me and loves me. So yeah, I'm going to worship him and I'm going to praise him because he has loved me. And reading these books just shows me that no amount of secular love could ever amount to that. And it's partly because I've never been loved. So I can't be like, well, this guy loves me, so I'm content in everything that the world has to offer me, because that's just not true. And I have lived through, I'm only 17, but I have understood, partly from books and partly from my own experience, that I need to put my faith in the Lord so that I can be secure in myself and confident in myself. Okay, next question. What books are good for beginners? Wow, Nicole, I'm so glad you asked after that very heartfelt conversation that you had with yourself. For fantasy, I would recommend for beginners Dance of Thieves. Guys, please read it. It's one of my favorites. Okay, for fiction, I would recommend Inheritance Games. And both of those are YA series. Dance of Thieves is about, it's basically enemies to lovers, back to enemies, to friends, to lovers. And then Inheritance Games is about this really poor girl who inherits like $60 billion. And she's like, I wonder why. And she's stuck in this house with his four grandsons, and three of them are good looking. Xander is just like, he reminds me of Kenji in the best way possible. Like, that is my Kenji. And then Jameson and Grayson are in this like love triangle with Avery, and it's, I hate love triangles, and I was not a fan of this love triangle, but I loved the ending. I'm a Jameson girly, and if you're a Grayson girly, what is wrong with you? Like, seriously, that man is plain Jane. Jameson offers something to the table. Okay, thanks for listening to this episode of Nicole's Bookmark. I hope you enjoyed the reader's guide, and I hope you don't mind the little, like, faith rant that I added in there. Actually, multiple times. Why was I talking about King David over here? I was like, this man with his slingshot. This man defeating demon giants. Bye, guys.